Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. I'm coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we're going to talk about the good, the bad, and those not-so-brilliant things that we do in life and we're doing with money. We are reclaiming stewardship. God has a lot to say about money and about living this life intentionally and for His glory, not ours. Much more about that at stewardship.com, and be sure to check it out. Again, that's stewardship.com. This is your show, America. Phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. You call in and we will talk. Well, let me just start this episode off with telling you, happy Father's Day. Father's Day is right around the corner, and I'm telling you, we've got a special episode in store for you. We've got a special guest. His name is Clayton King, and he is president of Clayton King Ministries, teaching pastor at New Spring Church in South Carolina. He's the professor of evangelism at Anderson University. He's an author. He's an evangelist himself. He was just telling me that just a week ago, I believe, he was in Nashville, and nearly 2,000 people accepted Christ just in that one event. This guy is amazing, but he has an incredible father story that will inspire you, I promise. So he's a special guest, and he'll be with us a little bit later. So more about that in just a few minutes. But again, here a very warm and sincere happy Father's Day to all of you fathers out there trying to do the best you can to steward those children God's way and for His glory. Our first caller today is Jason, and he is calling in from Columbus, Indiana. Jason, how are you?
I'm pretty good. You?
I'm doing very well. You a father?
Yes.
You know, you got Father's Day coming up, and I just want to wish you happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Three daughters.
Awesome. Very cool. How can I help you today?
Well, my question is concerning my oldest daughter. She's going into her third year of college. She's going to be a pharmacist. She will be completing her pre-pharmacy this year, and she will have zero college debt. But then the professional side of the schooling is very expensive. Do you have any advice for keeping the school debt to a minimum? And is there an amount debt that is okay to incur with the projected income?
Well, the quick answer is no. The same truth that's in the scriptures, Romans 13:8, owe no one anything except to love one another. There's no exceptions to that. And of course, we're not talking about a sin issue here. You know, it's more of a wisdom issue. It's keeping yourself in a good position to be able to have margin in your life to see what God would have you, you know, let's say, you know, God wanted you or your daughter to go on a missions trip, and He just says, hey, listen, I really am pulling you towards this missions trip, or I'm pulling you towards ministering to this family, or I'm pulling you towards giving to this initiative at church. We want to make sure that we're always in position for, you know, those times when God leads in our heart, and this is no different. If somebody were a borrower, and that's what they want to do, that's the lifestyle they want to live, that's the perspective they want to go, there's obviously a risk analysis. So if you're going to borrow $5,000 and immediately when you graduate, you're going to make $100,000 a year, that's less risky than if you're going to borrow $200,000 a year, which happens, believe it or not, borrowing $200,000 in college and you're only going to get out and make $30,000 a year. Obviously, that's more not so brilliant. So obviously there is some risk assessment there, but I wouldn't, no one's ever going to call here ever. And they're going to get advice from me saying, this particular scenario is okay to borrow money. So I do understand that it's going to be a bigger challenge in these next few years. And, my biggest question to you is what are some other options? What are some other options for you? What are some other options for her? Is it possibly delaying or going at a slower pace or getting some more income? Have you thought through some other options?
Well, I listen to Dave most of the time on the way home from work, and, you know, I hear a lot of people most of the debt is college debt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what got me thinking, maybe we need to look at how to go about this, you know, before you're just thinking, okay, everybody else is borrowing this much money to get a college degree, you know, and you just kind of think that's okay.
Jason, you do need to consider what everyone else is doing. Some people would say, hey, it doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. And I would say it does. What everyone else is doing, go the opposite direction.
Yeah.
You're right, though, that the average American is graduating college with over $30,000 in debt. And that's the way they're starting their adult life. You guys have done it great so far. And really take inventory on how great that really feels. Don't undersell that. That's a big deal. That freedom that you feel, that lack of bondage, and let's keep that up. So, and when she graduates, she's going to feel so much better about herself. She graduates with no debt. She's going to really enjoy it. You want this degree to be a blessing, not a curse. And so I would increase revenue, you know, work like crazy and do whatever, you know, she's got to do. If you want to invest into it yourself and you take some extra quarter time, or you guys get together and maybe start a secondary revenue stream for your entire family. You guys are all in on it. Maybe work from the home, or someone starts making bracelets on the side, whatever you got to do. But I would not recommend going back into debt. Okay.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right. Happy Father's Day, Jason.
Thank you.
And our next caller is Rick calling in from Amarillo, Texas. Rick, how are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I am very, very blessed. How can I help you today?
Well, I had a question about my mortgage.
Okay.
We've got a 30-year fixed FHA mortgage, but there a bunch of people are calling us about the new law about refinancing, that we're a perfect fit for it, and I just really wanted to get your thoughts on it. To me, it doesn't sound like a good deal, but I just kind of wanted to...
Let me guess, the correspondence starts with, congratulations, you've qualified. Am I right?
Yes. just like them.
Well, way to go, man. You're awesome. I'm telling you. You are so special. You're one in a million. I just wanted to make sure I put that in perspective. I don't even know what they're selling yet, so keep going.
Well, they're telling me that I have MIP insurance. Mortgage insurance premium on my FHA loan now.
Okay.
It's $227 a month.
Ouch.
And they're all telling me that the new law that came about by the government is cutting that insurance in half. Well, so everybody, I had them, you know, a couple of people run me some deals, and they're all telling me that, you know, the beauty about this is there's no closing costs, there's no nothing. And then at the end, they tell me that my mortgage is going to go up from 227 to 235. And I'm asking, well, why are you telling me there's no fees, no closing costs and all that stuff, but then my mortgage goes up? And I go, that doesn't make sense to me. Still should be 227.
Yeah, let me guess. They're probably tacking on a bunch of money on the end of the mortgage too, huh?
Well, yeah. And they're saying, well, you got to pay your insurance premium, but we're going to reduce it, but we're going to add it to the end of your note. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense to me, even though they're telling me that I can, even with my interest rate going up, I'm still going to be saving like $150 a month, which really isn't that much, but... You know, some of them will send me, oh, the interest rates are 2.29 on a 15-year fix. I just started listening to Dave Ramsey. Mm-hmm. We're in a pretty good mess debt-wise, you know, compared to, you know, most people that I listen to on that show. But so I was thinking, well, if I have this, save me some money, I can add that to my snowball that we just started and go from there. But it just doesn't make any sense to me. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, the only way that I would go about, you know, restructuring your mortgage is if it wasn't going to have any penalties, which I don't know if there's anything out there. So that would mean they're going to lower your PMI and they're going to take that off or limit it and with no origination fees and nothing tacked onto the back of the mortgage. I don't know anything like that. I think you need to redirect all of your energy towards that other debt that you have and nail that first and then go back toward to the mortgage and worry about that. Because that 2.29 at 15-year fixed seems amazing. That right there is what I'm talking about. If you can make those payments, you know, because your payments are going to go up tremendously, but that's what you want to look for. You don't want to look for any more debt. So what you're doing with what they suggested is all you're doing is prolonging payment. So all you're really doing is, in a sense, borrowing again.
Right.
You're borrowing upon borrowing is really what you're doing. And what they're doing is they know the way this world thinks. And like, oh, if I can just have less payments, because they're thinking in the here and now, and they're going to penalize you later because they know most Americans are going to go for that. But you're better than that, Rick, and so you're not going to do that. What's the value of the home?
The value of it, the last time we kind of looked, was $244,000, maybe $250,000.
Okay, and how much do you owe?
We owe $227,000.
Okay. So you're looking to get, you need to get to the magic number of about $195,000. You just need to aim for paying off about $30,000, and then you'll qualify for not having PMI on your own. You're not paying anybody anything. Then when you refi, you won't need PMI because you'll be below the 80% loan to value.
That's what they told me.
Just do it on your own.
And then my wife's like, well, yeah, I've been trying to tell you this all this time.
I've heard that story a bunch of times, that's for sure. My wife's name is Holly, so I call her the Holly Spirit often. I mean, she is in my ear, and so she keeps me on the straight and narrow. Anything that they're offering, you can do on your own, and you can kick it in the teeth yourself.
Yeah,
I'd just save yourself $150 a month by paying this thing down yourself. Below that PMI level. So you already have gotten in debt, Rick, and I'm going to bring up a passage of scripture to you that this is not, I'm not throwing stones at you, my friend. This is for all of America to hear, and this is for me to hear at one phase of my life, and that's what made me so mad to start a radio show to help other people. Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Listen, it happens once, shame on us. It happens twice, shame on us even more. So let's not return to our folly. Let's quit borrowing money. Just kick the thing in the teeth and show them who's boss and say, I'm not falling into the trap of the ways of this world. All right, Rick, appreciate the call.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
All right, folks, this is the Father's Day edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Got an email here from David. He says, with all this talk about America in decline, what can I do to protect my investments? David, I would just tell you, I'm only 37 years old. I haven't been around the block through four or five, you know, economic cycles, but I have been around long enough to know that America is never in as decline as the media says. America is awesome. I hear stories all the time of people saying how they've only been in this country for a little while, and man, they have been tremendously blessed. This is a land of opportunity. I love America. Is it perfect? Does it have problems? Yeah. But are your investments relatively safe? Yes. I don't think you need to move them. I think they're fine there. Any kind of this media hype that the whole world is coming down is just not true. I don't buy it. And you may call me naive. Some of you may call me naive. Listen, you have that prerogative. But I think America is here, and it is here to stand. And it is still an amazing country. Well, folks, finding an investing advisor with the heart of a teacher should not be difficult. That's why Dave Ramsey started his Endorse Local Provider program. He's been connecting listeners to these trustworthy investing professionals for 15 years. I found my investing advisor through the ELP program and am proud to offer our listeners access to these outstanding pros. If you need someone you can count on to help with your investing needs, check out our ELPs at stewardship.com. Let us connect you with a professional that you can trust. That's stewardship.com and click ELP.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now let's continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Well, folks, I had told you that we had a special guest today, and I am honored to introduce you to the one and only Pastor Clayton King. Many of you have been touched by his ministry throughout the years, but maybe he's a new name to you, and so I want to introduce you to him, and then we're going to have a little bit of a chat and talk about fatherhood. Pastor Clayton King spends his time traveling, preaching, and speaking in churches, conferences, and the leadership events, as well as running Crossroads Missions and Clayton King Ministries, author of 12 books, including his latest that we're going to talk about a little bit today. He's the teaching pastor at an amazing church, New Spring Church, and a daily radio ministry in partnership with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. He is the father of Jacob and Joseph, ages 12 and 9. He is a busy man. And on a personal note, he has ministered to me and my family over the years in a tremendous way. Clayton, thank you so much, and thank you for joining our program.
Oh, it's an honor to be with you today. I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, I wanted to bring you on because I wanted you to encourage fathers. You had this really tough beginning where a lot of people would feel like, oh, I'm the victim. I can't get ahead. I've just got this bad start. But you obviously have taken a different route. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your upbringing, your perspective, your mindset, and how your father had a lot to do with that?
You know, my dad was the greatest influence in my life. Of all the people I've ever met or known, no one has changed and challenged and taught me and shaped me like my dad. His name was Joe. My birth mother was 14 when she became pregnant with me, and she was 15 when she delivered me. She had a tough choice to make, but she made a wonderful decision, at least in my opinion, because she gave me a chance to live. And the family that adopted me from South Carolina loved me, raised me, and in a lot of ways to just be a hard worker, to really grind it out. My dad was a man of great faith and great humility. He was a man of poor upbringings. You know, he didn't have running water or electricity in his house until he was a teenager. I can remember him telling me that in the summertime, he very seldom ever wore shoes because he wanted to make sure that the shoes he did have wouldn't get worn out in the summertime so he could have shoes to wear in the winter just to keep his feet, you know, from getting cold and from freezing. So he was one of those old-school kind of guys that got up early every morning, read his Bible at the breakfast table. So he was just the greatest man that I ever knew, and I had the honor of not only having my father as my Sunday school teacher when I was a boy, but when I came to faith and gave my life to Christ, my dad discipled me. My dad had already been discipling me as a kid, teaching me life lessons. He was a businessman who started from scratch. He owned his own electric motor repair shop. He had a team of 11 or 12 employees. I started working for my dad, sweeping floors in his industrial building when I was 7 years old, and he would pay me $1 an hour. And I would literally sweep floors and dust shelves all day until eventually by the time I was 18, I really knew what a hard day's work was, and I knew what it felt like to earn a wage that I deserved and that I had earned. And I also, you know, learned what it felt like to go to bed at night dead tired and sleep like a baby and wake up the next day and do it again. So it's really hard for me to even explain what an influence that man had on my life.
Wow. I think it's good for all of us to hear you speaking about your father from a legacy standpoint and such a positive standpoint, but you're bringing up a lot of hard work. You know, a lot of times we hold back and we don't want to push our kids and like, oh, well, that's just being really rough on them. But you're speaking, and I was like, that taught you stuff, that built character, and that's so good to hear. Now, how would you say that all of that, and I know that's just a glimpse into your father's legacy, but how has that shaped you as a father?
First of all, he taught me how to love God. To me, the most essential part of my life is my relationship with God. My father was a fine and humble Christian man. I never saw him mistreat a single human being. He was not a perfect man. He was prone to temper flare-ups, and he struggled with depression, and his own father had left them and abandoned their family when my dad was 10. So my father made a decision when they adopted me that he would be faithful to my mom, his wife. And so that was the primary thing that I saw my dad really prioritize his relationship with Christ. Then my dad taught me how to love a woman because I saw my dad love my mom. And then, you know, my dad showed me what it was like for a father to be present in the lives of his children every single day. Now, this is not realistic for many dads today, but my dad came home every single day at 5:15, sat down at the dinner table. Televisions were turned off. No one made phone calls. Of course, this was the 1900s, so there were no smartphones at the table. And around the table is where I learned manners. I learned respect. From sitting at that table with my dad and watching my dad as an honorable man of integrity. And so today, as I raise my kids, as I tithe to my church, as I support missions, as I run a large nonprofit, As an entrepreneur who has started multiple organizations and companies, I learned all of that from my dad. And I don't think he really understood the kind of influence he was going to have on me. And so it feels so good for me to be able to say, today in this age in our culture, you know what, I had a great dad. And everybody doesn't have the ability to say that, but I'm thankful that I can, because it would have been really been a different story for my life if I had been adopted by a different family, or even if my birth mother had chosen not to give me a chance to live.
You know, for as someone who travels around the country and speaks in very large venues, and you talk to a lot of fathers out there, if you had just maybe 30 seconds to just kind of reach through the microphone and wrap your arms around fathers and speak a word of encouragement into them, what would you tell them?
You know, it's really two words: be there. Mm. It's not rocket science. Being a dad is hard work, but it's not that difficult. You have to be there with your children.
Yeah.
Be there for the good moments and the struggles. Be available to them. Be at the table. Be in the den, in the living room. Go into their bedroom at night before they go to bed and talk to them. Sit on the edge of the bed. Ask them how their day is doing. Make sure that your sons and daughters, if you're a dad, that they understand they always have an advocate and a fan and a friend in their father.
Mm.
That would be the two words I would say to any dad in any stage of life. Just be there.
Well, Pastor, we are very inspired by your ministry, inspired by your life. People would say that you were dealt a tough hand, and obviously your father has had a lot to do with building that character and that heart and that grit that you have. You recently wrote a book, and I wanted to highlight that book and make sure that our audience knows that they can get their hands on it. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that book and where they can find more about it?
Yeah, the book is called Stronger, and it's a book where I tell the story of my dad's influence on me, but I tell it from a very raw and vulnerable place. I lost 9 family members in 12 years. When I say I lost them, I mean they died. My mother dropped dead of a heart attack on a Sunday afternoon while I was in another country. And then 18 months later, my father, who was already terminally ill with diabetes and heart disease, died. He passed away, and I preached my dad's funeral on Father's Day. And so in the book, I make this statement: my earthly father met my heavenly father on Father's Day. And so I'm going to be able to release this book, Stronger, on Father's Day, 3 years to the day, saying goodbye to the earthly man that I knew and loved. But I think specifically this book talks to anybody who has ever had a relationship or missed out on having a relationship with their father.
Mm.
It's raw and emotional, but it gives a lot of hope that God's grace is sufficient, because his strength is made perfect in our weakness.
I have no doubts that this book can be a huge encouragement to those of you that are listening to this, and that's where you're at. You know, you got Father's Day this weekend, and you're not necessarily that excited about it. You need to go grab that book. So I want to point you again to ClaytonKing.com/stronger. Find out more information there. But Clayton, we're so thankful that you have ministered to us today, and that you continue to do that through your events and through your books. And you truly are serving the community and ministering to the community and making a huge difference. You can reach him on Twitter at Clayton_King. He's very active on there, and he has lots of encouraging things that he's throwing out there in the Twitter sphere. Again, on Twitter, at Clayton_King. Clayton, thank you so much once again. Well, it has been an honor to have Pastor Clayton King with us today. I hope it was encouraging to you, and I hope you have an incredible Father's Day weekend. That wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point in the radio shows where the show host asks you, the show listener, for your financial support, but we're not going to do that. We're here as a free service, but in order to be able to keep providing this free service, we need you to help by telling your friends and family to, one, listen to the show, two, check out stewardship.com, and three, would you also consider leaving us a review or a rating on iTunes? Thank you so much for helping us spread the word. It's been an honor to serve you today. As always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Today, we have been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So, until next time, let's continue to manage his blessings
His way, and for His glory. God bless you.